the Dallas Cowboys or continue to be the quarterback of the Cowboys. It's not happening. This has been Jerry Jones just biding his time, stringing everybody along, as I said. And I'm curious to know where Dak's going to play next year. Actually, I think this is the most interesting part of this story. It's not what's going to happen this year with the Cowboys. It's what does Dak Prescott's free agency look like? So if you're somebody out there who is like sick of Cowboys content, just wait till the offseason when Dak's getting wooed and swooned and what is it? Wooed by all these different teams across the country.
He's not getting swooned by teams
swooned
as far as I can
wooed.
Tell. Yeah, Maggie, let me tell you how this works.
Okay, tell me.
Nothing changes in Dallas ever until the end of time.
Oh, okay.
Dak Prescott, not only will Dak Prescott be the quarterback next year in Dallas, he will be the quarterback until long after we are retired from this lovely business. Why
the rest of our natural life?
When's the last time Dallas made any change? They are a team that's gone 12-5 3 years in a row. Steady Eddie. Before that, they went 8-8 3 years in a row. Steady Eddie. What makes you think Jerry Jones is going to change anything? What did he do last time with Dak? He let the contract run out and gave him a boatload of money. Guess what's going to happen this time? He's going to let the contract run out and give him a boatload of money. Why would if it was an open free agency, why would Dak leave Dallas? Like, where is he going?
Well, I think the Cowboys are the ones who are going to be moving on here. And this is the whole thing. We should have known this from the beginning, is when the Cowboys didn't restructure Dak Prescott, his contract this year, to free up some more money for free agency. And Jerry wants to play this thing out. It's costing him millions, by the way. It's costing him millions with CeeDee Lamb. You know, we talked to Matt Mosley from the Doomsday podcast earlier this week. He said all these players have Jerry over the barrel. And I think that they want Dak to get to free agency, and they want something else. And I think it's probably Trey Lance. And I don't know if that's going to be the answer, but I think they want to look like, oh, we have this succession plan, and Trey Lance looks like he's going to play the entire third preseason game. And Jerry said yesterday he's making the 53-man roster. There's no any kind of drama or anything there. I think this is Dak Prescott. They're moving on. And Jerry just doesn't like to pay people to not work. So he doesn't want to give anyone anything. Remember, he kept Jason Garrett on the payroll until like his last day in the office when they had basically already hired Mike McCarthy.
That's who I was about to bring up. Jason Garrett spent about, I don't know, 5 extra years there. So now they're going to move on from Dak Prescott. That guy doesn't move on from anybody. It's the same group around him. There's no way. And at the end of the day, Dak would definitely choose Dallas over any possible suitor. There's not even a close second.
But what if it comes down to money? It's this free agency now.
Yeah, Jerry, Jerry's 80, what, years old? 80, 81? He hasn't changed since 1997. There's no change here. He's going to do the same thing he always does. He's going to sign CeeDee right before the season starts, and he's going to re-sign Dak Prescott at $62 million a year. It's coming, and Trey Lance, there's no way. Even Jerry barely can say nice things about Trey Lance. There's no way it's Trey Lance. Dak is, at the end of the day, he'll go to free agency. He's going to flirt with maybe the New York teams. The no state taxes in Texas is going to win the day, and he will be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, not just next year, the year after that. Dak Prescott is the Dallas Cowboys quarterback ad infinitum.
Listen, don't bring that Latin out this early in the morning. The other part is there's other teams out there in other cities where you can have nice tax breaks.
Give me one NFL team that is going to have an opening next year with a nice tax break.
I mean, is it possible something could happen and Baker Mayfield moves on from Tampa? Is it possible that something could happen with Tua and maybe they have to figure out something else in Miami? I know they're just getting a lot of money, but injury-wise, there's Arizona. There are other places where you can have like a nice little tax haven. And I think that's one thing that Jerry always miscalculates is to say you should take less because of the state taxes, right? And you should do this and you should do that. Cost of living lower than it would be maybe in New York or what have you. But Dax already has the money, you know? Mm-hmm. He already has a ton of money. So he might be looking for something a little bit different. You just can never, you never know when you get to free agency. And the Cowboys have made this bet. So I'm now looking forward to Dak Prescott free agency. I'm already blown past this year. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Wake me up when they're in the playoffs. But the Dax free agency now is my big thing.
Yeah, enjoy.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, are you excited for next year when Dak throws 34 touchdowns in Dallas in 2025?
Good luck. I don't think the fans want him back. See, that's the other part. Not that Jerry's going to listen to the fans, although he might. I think that fans are ready to move on. We have fans in our life here in our orbit in the Maggie and Perloff show who are Dallas Cowboy fans, our pal Big Dave and others. They're done. They've done it. They've seen the movie, you know, many times. And They just, I think they're not impressed anymore with the 12 wins and then going to the playoffs and losing.
All right. I love your confidence in this. What are you willing to put on the line here?
I mean,
sounds very confident. I think a massive show bet.
Maybe I'll eat the 24 waffles. You want to do the Waffle House bet?
Can we do a lower carb bet? But I mean, just like
lower carb.
why?
I ate tuna fish jelly. You're worried about carbs?
Tell me the last out of character thing Jerry Jones has done. Like, show me a move where he's just been like, this surprises me. Since Bill Parcells left the building, and he's like, I'm going to do everything the same way. I'm going to hire a coach who I can control.
Right.
I'm going to basically, I'm going to re-sign everybody at a high rate, and I'm going to draft a bunch of offensive linemen. I don't know if he's actually making the offensive lineman decision. He lets somebody draft offensive linemen.
Hire that person. Promote that person.
They're literally the most consistent franchise out of all 32. So to have this massive departure just seems way out of character to me.
Yeah, I think that there is something about freshening this up.
That's what I'm saying. There's no freshening up. This is not a freshen up franchise. This is a run it back franchise.
Maybe 855-212-4227. Can we hear from Jerry? So this is what got this whole thing started. Nico, let's hear. Cut one, sir.
We're just continuing to talk, and the thing is there that since we're really in season, we're practicing, we're doing all those things, operating under his existing contract, which is really good.
Yeah, operating under the existing contract, and that's how they're going to operate for the rest of the season. And if Dak re-signs with the Cowboys in free agency, I'm not so sure about that, but they're going to play out this year. And all of this, like, day-to-day updates and the, oh, I'm feeling confident, oh, we like Trey Lance, oh, this, that, it's all just been a work. It's all been one long filibuster.
Where did they say they like Trey Lance? I have not heard that one.
Jerry said yesterday he's definitely making the 53.
Yes, that was, like, he said he's got a lot of work to do. He's definitely making the 53, meaning I'm criticizing him right now, but that doesn't mean I'm going to cut him.
It's possible he's QB2 if he plays well.
Oh, man. You realize this guy is in his fourth year. Like, it's possible he's QB2. I mean, listen, Jerry is going to be realistic here. Unless Stafford becomes available, like, they need a veteran. They're not going to be able to draft a rookie next year because they're not going to be top 10. It's not a quarterback class. So what's their option here? To start Cooper Rush?
What, next year?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that's the question no one's ever been able to answer for me. What is the plan B?
But there's no plan B. They do the same thing. They never get to plan B. They always go with plan A forever.
I think the plan B is Trey Lance. And I think they're expecting McCarthy, in the last year of his deal, to be developing him behind the scenes. And I don't know if that saves McCarthy's job at all. But let's hear a little more from Jerry. He wishes the fans understood that players already under contract don't need to be extended.
You know, one of the things that I would like for our fans to really understand is that and 9 times out of 10, these are existing contracts that you have in place. And you should be able to operate under those. But we've gotten it now in the NFL. Other teams are dealing with it to where with time on the contract, you still might have a contract discussion. And that's what we're doing.
I mean, we're smarter than this, Jer. I mean, you wish fans understood.
Is that exactly what he did last time?
What?
Let Dak play on his existing contract and got free. Like, that's how Jerry seems to run things.
But they lost that negotiation, Pearl.
Right,
they lost that one.
And what makes you think they're going to win the next one?
Was Trayvon Diggs on the last year of his deal? I don't know if he was. Was DeMarcus Lawrence in the last year? I don't think he was.
Well, he did it with Dak. He said, listen, Matt, you got to understand, because Jerry was explaining business 101.
Yeah, mansplain this
understand
to me, Jer.
These are existing contracts. He's obviously not terrified of Dak being on an existing contract. And he's just like, and honestly, I kind of get it. Like, they're saving a little bit of money this year and they'll pay more next year. But I agree, like, logically, you got to see, can he actually win a playoff game? But it could possibly be, I mean, is it really going to be that much of a difference next year and this year? Is he, you say that he's killing the team or something.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about what, 4 million, 5 million more? What's the difference? He'd probably get 56 this year. He'll probably get 61 next year. Is that,
well, when you're,
huge deal. And they definitely saved that $5 million on this year anyway.
Okay, but here's the thing. When you're trying to team build and you're trying to be at the top of the, you're trying to be, you know, one of the top teams in the league. Yeah. Another $4 or $5 million. Like, yes, these things maybe do make a difference.
But they'll save the money this year, though.
Well, they could have restructured him and actually had more money even so, because his cap hit was so big this year.
Right, but then they screw themselves down the road.
But are you screwing yourself, or are you trying to win a title? You know, because, like, here's the thing. And this is why I think Jerry Jones is actually unserious about winning a title. Because there are moves that you can make that can be more about the now. And he's not worried about that. Y'all are worried about it. Cowboy fans are definitely worried about it. He's not. He's got the $10 billion valuation of the franchise. He's in the Hall of Fame. And he'll tell you those Super Bowls were Jimmy and him. So, you know, I don't think that there's the urgency. And I think you can see it. But to say that, like, you know, you should let everyone play out the existing contract, that does not happen. That does not happen because you have teams that are trying to manage their cap down the road. And all things do is go up and up and up and up and up, and you lose control of the situation. And they're more than willing, Jerry and the front office of the Cowboys, to give control to the players. CeeDee Lamb, you could have signed him after Devontae Adams, and you didn't do it, and mm-hmm. you could have saved money. You could have had Dak earlier. You could have saved money. And what do you think they're going to do with Micah Parsons? Jerry's such full of crap. They're definitely going to sign Micah Parsons before he's playing out the last year of his deal. So, well, all this is BS.
Ironically, they have not signed Micah Parsons yet.
That'll be next offseason's big story.
Well, regardless, so, I mean, he obviously did this with Dak. It was 2021. He let it play out. And then he got a four-year $160 million, which sounded big at the time, but obviously...
Right.
Quickly,
they franchise tagged him twice. He
quickly
had
blown
them.
Past. Yeah. I'm saying, like, that wasn't... It was fine. It turned out to be totally a market contract, and he's going to probably sign for $61 million next year or something, and that'll be a market contract wherever. And even if it is in Dallas, he's going to... I'm telling you, like, Jerry's actually not going to kill anybody by waiting until next year if he decides to go that way.
But, again, you risk losing the guy. 855-212-4227.
Do you risk losing the guy? What's more likely, that they get sad about losing the guy or that they're ready to move on? I mean, Jerry's actually not in a terrible position here. He gets to try out Dak for one more year. I think everybody, it's a weird, will you admit this year, in February we were all down on Dak. Then this year everyone sort of looked back on it and said, you know, he's a really good quarterback. I actually heard our friend Shield Kapadia said the other day, like, he's like top five quarterback or something like that. Basically, he's better than Jalen Hurts. I was like, oh, what has changed in a year? Because Dak had a good year. So people are high on Dak now again for some reason. And I think I can't even remember what my original point was. I think Jerry's smart to try him out for one more year and then just resign him at the market next year. What's wrong with that? Why is that such a bad... Everyone's saying, like, it's going to kill their cap forever. If they had signed him for Trevor Lawrence money, guess what? That kills their cap forever, too.
Okay, so let's say this plays out in the way that it's played out for many a Dallas Cowboy postseason. Yeah. And they get waxed in the wild card game or the divisional round or whatever's going to happen. And you're coming off another one of those, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we lost again in this awful way, you know, or something like that. Well, now your fan base is not going to be fired up about having Dak Prescott back for top of the market.
No.
And then let's say the other thing happens. Let's say by some miracle, this is the Cowboys' year. And let's say you go to the NFC Championship game. Hell, say you go to the Super Bowl. I'm not picking them. But let's say everything falls into place and you go to the Super Bowl. Now the price just went up even bigger. And you're going to be happy to pay it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the price just went up exponentially. And you screwed yourself because you could have had him under contract. And he could have been in the second year of a reasonable deal. And now he's in the first year of a totally unreasonable deal. So,
but you just said two scenarios. Like, did he screw himself by signing him or not signing him? I'm sorry. I'm a little confused.
I'm just playing out you didn't sign him, and now here are the two things that could happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, last time they signed him, he had a devastating lower body injury, and they signed him anyway. That wasn't exactly coming off a high note, and it kind of worked out anyway. I understand what you're saying. Of course, him not signing him now, and he probably won't sign him before the season, indicates that they're willing to move on. But I just see so much, like, Jerry just does the same thing again and again and again and again. And why you're expecting him to act differently, I just don't get it. Like, why would you expect Jerry to all of a sudden, at this age, all of a sudden show a new side to him?
855-212-4227. Is this Dak Prescott's last season as a Cowboys quarterback? If I could vote five times on this poll, they don't, and doesn't allow me to do that. I'd vote yes, yes. Yes, yes, this is the last year that he is a Cowboy.
We got to do a show bet on this.
I'm telling you, do you want to do the Waffle House thing? I'll do it.
Done.
You're worried about carbs. You're worried about carbs. Yesterday, if you
24
guys...
waffles is a lot of carbs.
So yesterday, they're thin waffles. Yesterday, Perloff and I were talking about, I don't even know how we got on this.
The Waffle House bet.
The Waffle House bet. But I was going to say another thing that happened yesterday. And if you haven't seen it yet, you can go to our social handles, at Maggie and Pearl on X, at Maggie Gray, at Andrew Perloff. Got this conversation about toughness and about coaching and about all that stuff. And yada, yada, yada. Long story short, I ended up punching Perloff in the stomach yesterday. Okay? I punched him. And you took it like a champ. You've got nothing to worry about. Dude, you got washboard abs. You really do. I'll give you the credit. It was like punching granite. You don't have to worry about some carbs.
How about if I replace waffles with omelets? American cheese omelets.
No.
I mean, that could kill a normal man, but I think I can do it.
Do you realize how much cholesterol that would be? That's a terrible idea.
No, I don't think so. I think that's a better. I think protein, if I'm going to gorge over a 24-hour period, I think protein is a better way to go.
How about the Rocky with the raw eggs? I'm not going to let you get away with a cheese omelet. That's too delicious.
Raw eggs, I know.
You can do Rocky, breaking the raw eggs and just drinking them.
We're going from waffles, which are incredibly delicious.
Yeah,
I know.
But, okay. But too many waffles, it's kind of like smoking the whole pack, you know? It turns on you at some point.
Yeah, but you have a 24-hour period. The bet comes on. Oh, hash browns.
This was the Waffle House bet. This was a fantasy football league from a couple years ago where the loser of the fantasy football league had to sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours. And every waffle that the guy ate, 1 hour came off of the 24 hours.
I think, okay, if I do 24 cheese omelets, I'm looking at the Waffle House menu and getting really hungry, by the way. If I do 24 cheese omelets instead of waffles, would you accept that, Maggie Gray? If Dak Prescott signs with, I like the Bucks. That was a good choice.
Thank you. No, you want to know why? I feel like I would have like blood on my hands if I sat by and watched
you
eat 24 omelets.
24 waffles is worse, way worse for you than 24 omelets. 24 waffles is so much sugar and so much carbs. I'm obviously going to put syrup on the waffles.
Well, of course. I mean, you're not a monster.
Yeah, how are you going to get 24 waffles down without a little help? That is way worse for you. We should get a nutritionist on the show than 24.
I think both of these are probably bad in their own way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yes. Would you probably die sooner with the cheese omelets? Definitely. But I will go, and the cheese omelets come with grits on the side. I will take those grits.
Yeah, I think you can't be wasting any calories here or any kind of stomach room.
You're sitting in Waffle House and there are grits there. You're going to say no to those, Maggie? I don't think so.
So Kaplan's in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. He said that's 9,000 calories worth of omelets.
Do the math on waffles. I think the waffles have more calories. I'm going to put this out to the world here. There's
EJ
a lot
said
of waffles.
There's no way we're eating 24 waffles or 24 omelets. What are you kicking sand in our face, EJ? I agree. 24 omelets is a lot.
But you have 24 hours, EJ. It's not like you have to eat them at once.
No, I know. I'm still saying no chance. It's not anything against you guys. Mm-hmm. The feat itself is so outrageous that I'm sorry. Like, we could try it. Like, I'm more than happy to watch one of you guys try to do this. I'm just saying, I feel like you're going to get to like 15 and be like, I'm out. I had a friend who actually ate 12 waffles in one sitting. So I've seen...
What happened?
It was pancakes. I'm sorry. It was pancakes. So slightly different. But it didn't go well.
Oh, no.
I mean, he was very sick and we had to leave. But like, we had our own IHOP challenge. This thing was like, I could eat 10 IHOP, all you can eat pancakes.
Yeah.
Wait, no chance. So and 10 pancakes? How long did this take? People eat 5 pancakes at a time on a normal order at IHOP.
Have you seen not the short stack. I mean, the full...
fluffy ones.
Oh, the big ones.
Right. Yeah, not the short stack. The real... He ate 12. He got cocky. He got the 10. He's like, I ate 2 more. And he did 12. And I've never seen my friend so sick in his life. And I'm like, you know what? I'm seeing flashbacks of that. And now I'm getting concerned for both you, Maggie, and you, Perloff, trying to eat 24 waffles or 24 omelets. This is double what my friend did.
Let's see. Kaplan does have the calorie count for the waffles. 9,840 calories for 24 Waffle House waffles and 15 grams of sugar per waffle. That's a lot.
And that's not even... Is that with the syrup? Probably.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's like 40 grams of sugar per waffle. So that means...
That's like drinking a Coke. Which we know Lane Kiffin would frown upon that.
That's
yesterday.
24 Cokes and a million... See, I think the waffles would make you sicker. Like, listen, I hope there's a there's a solid bathroom at this Waffle House.
I don't think that's the issue. Like, I ate an entire pizza, which was very carby. I puked, like, because I was just so full.
But how
the
long
bathroom
did it take?
Wasn't an issue.
How much time did you
have? I had 2 hours.
Yeah. I would like to tell you that the bathroom was not an issue with peanut butter, but I'm just telling you right now, that was a long, long night.
No, the harder part was, like, it's like cement after a while. You're just, like, chewing on, like, cement. That's what happens with the carby stuff.
Well, I ate that jar of peanut butter. And
jar and a half.
Jar and a half. And it was also, it feels like your body's poisoned, too.
Yes.
That's the problem with
how
eating challenges.
How I felt
challenges.
With the jelly.
I did an eating challenge on Casey Webb's show, Man vs. Food, and it felt like, oh, my gosh, somebody drugged me.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I remember that.
That's a big problem. But 24 hours, that's a long day. The question is, can you see yourself sitting in a Waffle House for 9 to 24 hours?
You know, that part of it is not an issue, I don't think.
24 hours.
Well, if we do it like this fantasy football thing where every hour or every waffle you eat, an hour comes off the total.
Oh, right.
If
I forgot about
that.
If we do it
like they did it, then no, I think this is good.
I don't know. I feel like if you're a waiter or something and this person is sitting there taking up the table for 12 hours, at a certain point they're going to be like, get out of here.
Nah, this is Waffle House, man. They've seen way worse than that.
I don't know if it's like...
as long as I don't come in with like a bow and arrow, I feel I'm going to be fine.
The breakfast rush comes in and this nerd is sitting there eating waffles. I'm telling you, that ain't going to go over well.
855-212-4227. All right, well, that escalated quickly. The question really is this Dak Prescott's last season as the Cowboys quarterback? I say yes. Perloff says no. Now there's a food bet on the line. Waffles, cheese omelets. We'll get all the details worked out.
I got to tell you, if I eat 24 cheese omelets, that's a lot of protein. I'm going to be totally yoked after that.
Yeah. You're going to walk out of there look like The Rock?
Oh, my God.
I don't think so.
I think we should have a pro wrestler on. I bet that they eat 24 cheese omelets for breakfast every day. When I was trying to put on weight in high school, I would like eat crazy food like that. I might just eat 24 cheese omelets, Maggie, just to show you that I can do it.
Can I punch you in the stomach after that?
Maybe a week later.
Okay. Lots more to do. Trash talk abounding towards one young quarterback in joint practices. We'll tell you who was on the receiving end of all this heckling. We've got a lot to do. Perloff and I will give our predictions for who makes the 12-team college football playoff today. We're giving our Heisman pick today. So much. It's Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sportsnet.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I'm already weaseling out of a bet, and the bet, A, hasn't even really been set yet, and B, I haven't lost yet. But I don't know. I'm really kind of worried about this. The bet is forming. Will Dak Prescott be a Dallas Cowboy next year? I'm even willing to say, will Dak Prescott be a Dallas Cowboy until I die? Because I don't see anything ever changing in Jerry world. The stakes are off this fantasy football league where the loser of the fantasy football league had to go to Waffle House and eat 24 waffles in 24 hours.
No, he had to sit there for 24 hours, and every waffle he ate, an hour came off the clock that he had to sit there.
Oh, so that is that what we'll do?
I kind of like that, and we could do with, if you want to do cheese omelets because you're worried about carbs, then I guess we could probably do that too. You
is that vain you for a man sound, to say that?
You sound a little like a weenie, I'm not going to lie. It's one day. It's not you have to eat 24 waffles for the rest of your life.
Why can't we spin it in a more manly way where I feel like I want all that protein? You know, hunter-gatherer.
Yeah.
Hunter-gatherer is to not
go
eat waffles with syrup. I mean, listen,
they would have if they could have.
You know how I eat, Maggie. You know I'm going to blow through these 24 whatevers in no time whatsoever. I'm sorry. Like, you guys underestimate me in food challenges badly.
You really did eat the peanut butter, and then you went for the second jar. I was like, you're a madman for
that. And
I
easily could have finished that. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to fly too close to the sun / get sick. I will down any of this food. And the cheesesteak bet, I think you guys are crazy to think I couldn't eat 4 cheesesteaks in an hour. That would be easy.
I thought it was 30 minutes.
30, it doesn't matter. Easy.
Yeah,
not
it's like
easy.
You talk this really big
EJ's
game.
EJ's shaking his head on Zoom here. That would be so easy, and I think any of you guys could do that. I think you're underestimating how much food you could take down.
Wait, but you're talking about 4 12-inch, like full size, not half, like 6-inch cheesesteaks.
Yeah, no, full cheesesteaks.
Okay.
Easy. 4 cheesesteaks in 30 minutes?
No.
I think you're underestimating. Like, you're yes, you have to do it quickly before your brain has a chance to catch up with your stomach. That's definitely a key. with some of these eating challenges, but like I think that just eating four 12-inch rolls is just a lot, let alone the heavy meat, the cheese, the onions,
the peppers. I mean, think about what you're saying. Four rolls in a half an hour? That's not exactly like climbing Mount Everest.
For your stomach, it is.
Four rolls? What's four rolls?
Also, you're worried about carbs with the waffles. That's a lot of, is it like French bread? Whatever the cheesesteak comes on.
Yeah, but what happens is the cheese and the steak sort of melt the bread, and it's not normal bread anymore. It's cheesesteak bread. It's just the most delicious thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I think the oil helps you eat all that. Like, I'm telling you, that's not as hard a food challenge as I think, Maggie, you could do four cheesesteaks in maybe 45 minutes.
That's a pass. Big pass. Dexter Henry is here with us doing updates this morning. We'll get all the details and parameters of this one worked out.
Yeah, and no Swiss cheese, J.D. Vance, on that cheesesteak.
Yeah, the politicians, apparently. It's sports and food. Like, these are the things politicians should never mess up.
Well, I was corrected after the show yesterday. Apparently, J.D. Vance, Republican vice president candidate, said, why don't they put Swiss cheese on cheesesteaks?
Oh, it was a suggestion.
Yeah, he didn't ask for it. He asked generally, what is the history of it? I mean, that would be gross,
don't
right?
Overthink it, dude.
Yeah, like, actually, the flavor. We've all had cheesesteaks. A Swiss cheesesteak? Like, what? It's the wrong flavor. You got to get Cheese Whiz.
I'm not a big fan of melted Swiss cheese to begin with.
I mean, I'm not casting my ballot based on your topping of cheesesteak. If it's a local election, yes, I am.
You become a single-issue voter.
Yeah.
What is it, the economy, immigration, reproductive rights? You're like, no, cheese on a cheesesteak.
Obviously, you can't run for mayor of Philadelphia and be like, hey, have they considered Jarlsberg for this cheesesteak? No.
Not going to fly there.
Yeah, Jarlsberg doesn't melt very well either.
No.
Thanks for that.
Good morning, guys.
Got any thoughts on Jarlsberg?
Got plenty of thoughts. Not on cheesesteak. So starting off with football, flag football, as we know, will make its debut at the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. Team USA quarterback Darrell Housch-Doucette sat down with TMZ Sports this week, and he has now made some headlines after saying this.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Okay. So, Doucette led Team USA to win the 2021 IFAF Men's Flag Football World Championship. They also got gold in the 2022 World Games. His comments came after talk of NFL players showing interest in playing flag football at the 2028 game. So, guys, can't believe I'm asking this. Does Doucette no flag football better than Patrick Mahomes, or is he tripping here?
I'm going to take it one step further. This is un-American for him to be taking out Patrick Mahomes. I appreciate what this guy has done on the international level and the gold medals and all of that, but to criticize Patrick Mahomes is just unpatriotic. Even if you're a diehard Raiders fan, like, you have to give it up to Mahomes. I worry for this man and his future on this team, because you criticize Mahomes, you might be, you know, kidnapped at night, taken out to the desert or something.
I'm a super fan of Doucette. I've seen this guy all over my social media feed, this little guy just yapping away. a small man with gigantic confidence. I love everything he's trying to pull here. What else? What other chances does Doucette have to make the team other than to preemptively put out there that I'm the best that ever played and I'm better than Mahomes? You got to credit the guy for his strategy, right? Like, what does he have to lose?
Well, Kaplan is in the chat and he's on fire. He said, what's there to know? Get the flag off, you're down. It's not that complicated. True, I don't think it's like rocket science to play flag football.
He made the point.
How do you think the game here?
He said that he thinks that the players are in the NFL are used to the physicality of the NFL and that they would have to adjust to flag football. And I'm like, I think they'll be fine. I think
they all. Now everybody.
Have you seen their practices? Like, they don't hit that much.
They all played 7-on-7 now. I mean, Mahomes played 7-on-7. Like, I think 7-on-7's been around really hardcore for a long time, but 15 years. So they all know how to play touch football. So what's the problem?
I agree.
What's the problem, Dex? No, but this little guy, honestly, we should get him on the show. He is just full of attitude.
Confident in himself.
Very confident.
I don't know if it's confident or strategic. I mean, what other cards does Doucette have to play here? I mean, you're trying to represent America, and you got Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes breathing down your neck. Joe Burrow is like, I want to be. That's the real competition, is Burrow versus Mahomes. Although, they're not going to let them leave training camp for this, right?
No, absolutely not. This guy's job is totally safe. He's going to be fine. There's no shot in you know where that Patrick Mahomes, that the Chiefs are going to be like, yeah, go ahead. So, leave training camp. Go play flag football. You're only the future of the franchise. Current face, future, and the greatest player to ever play for a franchise.
Doucette should be worried about the retired guys, like a Matt Ryan type or somebody might want to play
right.
who doesn't worry. I mean, who's
right
going to be retired
that.
By 2028? Aaron Rodgers?
Or I think one of the high-level college guys who now, like, one of these career college dudes.
That's like week zero, though. It's pretty close.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, but like the Cam Wards and the Risings, if one of these guys don't end up, they'll probably both make the NFL, but you know what I mean. One of those dudes.
No, but those guys are all going to be in camps. If you're good, if you're not good enough to make an NFL camp, are you really better than Doucette? I'm sorry, I keep forgetting his full name. What's his nickname?
His nickname is Hoosh. Darrell. Sorry, Darrell's the first name.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
Well, good thing we have 4 years to figure this all out. What else we got, Dexter?
What else we have?
I don't, honestly, this is the number one story out there. So, good luck topping that guy. Good luck topping Hoosh Doucette.
I'm sorry. Let's go around the horn one more time and everyone can talk flag football.
Probably not topping his soundbite there. But longtime Cincinnati Reds first baseman Joey Votto, six-time All-Star, 2010 MVP in the National League. He is retired. Votto made the announcement in a short video on social media Wednesday night, accompanied by a longer written post. In his 17 big league seasons in Cincinnati, Votto had a .294 batting average, 356 home runs, 1,144 ribbies, and a .409 on-base percentage in 2,056 games. He led the National League in on-base percentage 7 times, was a Gold Glover winner in 2011. Guys, is Votto a Hall of Famer in your eyes?
Oh, my God. First ballot.
First ballot.
Well, maybe not first. I love that dude. He's the funniest baseball player. He's Canadian, I believe. I like everything about Joey Votto.
Yeah. But some of the counting stats, he is going to fall a little bit short here. I think ultimately he gets in. I'm torn on this one. I think he will get in. What I do think is going to happen with Joey Votto, we can talk more about the Hall of Fame, but he's going to become the face of baseball. And in terms of announcers, if he wants to go into the booth, he will already be the best we have in terms of national. And no disrespect to those guys. And I love John Smoltz, and he's come on the show and all that. Votto is 1,000,000% more entertaining. If he keeps himself and the character that he has and he doesn't get too sterile, he already will be a top national voice on baseball because he's fun and he has a good time. He will be a Hall of Fame broadcaster if he wants to be.
Baseball needs that, in my opinion. They
Smoltz
need someone,
is great.
Someone
like
Smoltz
that.
Is good, but he's not. He doesn't play around. Like he's not happy-go-lucky. He's not in. You know, he's just he and Joe Davis. They call a great World Series, but it's very down the middle.
Honestly, I don't think baseball's problem is the announcers. I think baseball's big problem is no one knows where the games are. There's all sorts of issues. Like I don't even know. Like half the playoff games, I'm like flipping around. But regardless, Joey Votto, back to his cat. Like,
yeah.
Dude, that guy's a sabermetric superstar. I think his numbers are fine.
No, yeah, it's just the counting stats like that Dexter was just talking about.
Like home runs and RBIs. I would assume by the time, how many years is it?
Five
years.
I mean, nobody's going to look at those ancient stats at that point. Dude led the league in on-base percentage 7 times. Led an OPS
amazing.
Twice. He's a walk. Yeah, he got a lot of, like, he never was an MVP. Oh, yeah, he was one MVP. But he also got a lot of other MVP votes. I think he's just very well-liked.
5 other top 10 MVP finishes.
I think, obviously, his starting was affected by being in Cincinnati and not, like, a massive city to some extent. But I think the voters will take that into account and be like, you know what, if Joey Votto was a Dodger, he probably would have been more face of baseball throughout his career. So I think he's definitely in. Is there like a website that predicts Hall of Fame? I'm curious, like Baseball Reference.
Jay Jaffe,
right. He still does that?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll bet you he has him in.
Jay Jaffe does something called Jaws. It's like his simulation based on Jay Jaffe's war-based Hall of Fame metric puts him into similar Cooperstown company. So yes, this is how they're writing it. Similar company to Cooperstown. So not slam dunk, but similar, and he probably gets in.
Yeah, should get in.
Not, and by the way, it does matter. I don't think he ever had much of a PED whisper. At least I don't remember one. So that's got to...
I don't think so.
I mean, he played from 2007 to 2023. We'll see how everybody's viewed. But I don't think you needed... He has 356 total home runs. I don't think you need any more 500 home runs to get in. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that, like, his power numbers are going to be well-respected for this era.
Yeah, I'm seeing here his peak seven-year WAR, 46.9. That ranks ninth all-time. Did you say this? I'm sorry.
I did not say that.
This ranks ninth all-time among first basemen, trailing only seven players who are already in the Hall of Fame. So, yes, this is the similar numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's got huge.
And one of the others is Albert Pujols, who will get in.
Yeah, okay. I was about to ask about your math there. That makes sense. Yeah. Do you think Pujols will make it?
Not sure about that one.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, Votto could be first ballot. I think
That would shock me.
Yeah, I don't think it's be first ballot, but he'll get in.
Well,
The standard for first ballot with baseball is.
I feel like we're getting.
It's silly.
We're getting pretty thin, though, in the Hall of Famers. He was not a first ballot.
I think he was.
Beltre's a first ballot, then I think maybe Votto has a chance because who knows? Like, you got to look at who's around then in 5 years. But
doesn't Beltre. He has a title, though, right? He's a lot more playoff success than Votto. I mean, that's my one hang up with Votto.
Yeah.
I know Pete, if he was here, he'd be probably smashing the board because he can't stand Joey Votto. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's one of the most overrated players. I think playoff success when it comes to baseball players, you kind of have to put that aside a little bit. It's such a team game. But he played on just some lousy teams. And he put up a lot of empty numbers on teams that just never had a chance. So I feel like there are some voters that will hold that against him at least for a year or two.
That makes sense.
Dexter, thank you so much. Hold everything else for next hour. We got to take a quick timeout. We will get into the trash talk that was abound yesterday. I've never really seen this before. Joint practices or defense just airing out a young QB. I mean, really going after him. This was something. We got all the details for you next. It's Maggie and Perloff. I think everyone is pretty universally excited to see what Anthony Richardson can do in year two. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Of course, this is the Indianapolis Colts quarterback who looked pretty electrifying last year in four games, Pearl, before he got hurt. And still, the Colts almost made the playoffs. And so there was just sort of this idea, maybe they're trending up, and if Richardson can really develop as a quarterback, this could be the ultimate dual threat guy. You know, he's got the size of a Josh Allen. If he, you know, he has an arm, he just doesn't have a lot of experience. And he can obviously run. Yesterday apparently was a bad day between the Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals at their joint practice. Because according to The Athletic, the Bengals defensive players were just mercilessly heckling Anthony Richardson. Throw the ball, bro. Is that all he does is run? Yelling to Colts fans who are watching. He's just throwing to spots. He doesn't even see his receivers. And then after he's getting heckled, he ends up getting rattled and throwing a pick. So you had B.J. Hill, you had Cam Taylor-Britt, and you had Geno Stone basically all heckling Anthony Richardson. And apparently it did rattle him to the point where he seemed like he was bothered by it.
Yeah, what week are we in?
Preseason week 3.
Yeah, and that was that even a preseason game? That's a practice. What are we doing here? Who cares? And also, I do believe those guys. Anthony Richardson still has only played like 17 football games in his life.
But not of a lot of experience.
Yeah, I think we all know that Anthony Richardson is a work in progress. He's one of the least experienced quarterbacks in the NFL. He just hasn't had a lot of passing reps. I could care less. This means nothing to me. I hear the practice reports and I immediately dismiss them. Immediately. Out of hand, dismiss them all, including when these guys are talking trash. I'm not downgrading. I'm still taking Anthony Richardson in fantasy football.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I understand.
I mean, a lot of people are. He could give you some good running numbers.
So I get like joint practices. We just talked to, or just heard yesterday from Aaron Rodgers. Like, guys are paranoid. You don't want to show anything in the joint practices and all of that stuff. I understand. But at some point, Richardson is going to have to throw the ball if they're going to be successful. And running is great, and it can help you, you know, and on third downs and being able to take off. And hell, it's helped Josh Allen, help Lamar Jackson. Being able to run is awesome, but you do have to throw the ball. And I wonder how the development is. I'm even more interested now to see how Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Colts, how is he developing? Because remember, Shane Steichen, one of his biggest claim to fame thus far is when he was the offensive coordinator of your Philadelphia Eagles, and they actually started running the ball more and made a surprise trip to the playoffs with Jalen Hurts in Hurts' second year on the team before he got the big contract and the year before they went to the Super Bowl. So want to run a lot. You got Jonathan Taylor, you've got a running quarterback, but he is going to have to develop the passing game, Pearl. He has to.
So in 2021, Jalen Hurts threw for 3,100 yards and ran for 784.
Yep.
And they, I think they were 9-8, as I recall. They lost, got killed by Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Yep.
But that's, I think that's a balance you're looking at with Richardson. Almost exactly the same. He'll probably throw for about 3,000 yards, which, you know, kind of like a young Lamar Jackson number, and run for 900 yards. The question with him is health, obviously.
Sure.
So, I mean, listen, Shane Steichen's a secret weapon here. Can you live with that balance? That's what it's going to be. You know, Richardson is still learning, just hasn't had enough reps.
I know. And
I can live with that balance.
So here's the other part of this is, if it was like kind of being portrayed as the news reports are saying, which is he kind of got rattled and ended up throwing a pick.
Yeah.
This is the other part about guys who just haven't played a lot. You know, he's at Florida, Anthony Richardson, but just doesn't have a lot of reps. Like, do these things get under your skin? Do they get into your head? I mean, this is just a bunch of Bengals defenders talking smack, and maybe it rattled him. Do you worry about that at all? He just doesn't have the experience. And the mental side of this, who knows where his mental's at? You know, he had four games last season and then got hurt, and now are there expectations? I don't know if there's playoff expectations, but I'm sure he's feeling pressure.
I just feel like having whatever the four games were last year, he didn't look like he was nervous at all.
No.
He looked like, and by the way, the one thing, like, I was like, dude, you got to stop running so much. He's like, I don't really care. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Last year, that was a flaw or a sign of confidence. I don't know. It doesn't strike me as a guy who has a lot of nerves. It's you said it. They're going to run the ball. He's not going to have a lot of pressure. He's not going to have to drop back 40 times a game. I think this is still a good situation. I'm not worried about this at all. I mean, honestly, the Bengals, obviously a veteran defense, probably could get under his skin a little bit.
Yeah.
This is good for him. I'm not downgrading him at all because of this. And I also think there's so many practices. There's so much going on. Like, we're really not in the building to assume that they know something about Anthony Richardson, I think could be misleading.
EJ, you wanted to talk about this story. Is this a red flag here for Richardson?
I don't know if I say as much as a red flag, as much as if he is going to be more of a running quarterback, what does that mean for his health? Because I think that's really the thing that we got to look at. I mean, this is a guy who couldn't get through four games. He played one game, next game, couldn't finish, misses a game, then comes back, and then he got knocked out of the Tennessee game, and that was the end of his season. So if I have no problem with him being a running quarterback, he's young. I think he could develop as a passer. My question is, will he get enough reps to develop as a passer before getting hurt? Like, that's, to me, the whole thing with him. Him in a practice, I think that the Bengals felt like he was afraid to throw the ball. It's not nothing, but we know he's a supreme athlete. So we know he's going to hurt people in the NFL with his running. My question is, Josh Allen stood up to that physicality.
Yeah.
He could take those hits.
Right.
Can Anthony Richardson take those hits? He has the body, but so far, we haven't seen it.
Right, right. I mean, it's fair. And I think we are forgetting, though, just how fun it was to watch him in the very limited play we had. It was like, you didn't know what you were going to get. And that was
electric.
Like, it was like, whoa, either he's like, you know, running in from, you know, running in touchdowns, or he's got this really strong arm, just not exactly sure where it's going.
He's hard to bet on, though, because he had two injuries, right? But he had about four minor injuries in each game. Every time he runs, he leads with his shoulder, and you have no idea if he's going to get up. But I'm assuming he worked on that. He only had 3 months before last season. He had no idea what he was doing. He's had a year. I think it's going to be a different Anthony Richardson who gets out of bounds. I'm hoping.
855-212-4227. Coming up, there was a major announcement by an NFL team yesterday. What was it and who does it impact? We'll tell you next. Don't move a muscle. Maggie Perloff.